You know,
I see his picture.
Yeah, I see his picture. I see the little dots going up his nose.
Oh,
there he is.
Oh.
Oh, welcome to Transcendental QRM.
Oh.
Nice.
It's Swami Barry tonight.
Sitting on the deck in the northeast, or it's actually northwest suburb of Philadelphia, the town we call Perky Omenville. Right on the outskirts of Green Lane Park. It's a beautiful night.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, and you found your inner oneness.
I did. And I'm on the iPhone, so I'll be on this until either the mosquitoes get bad or my battery runs low.
I shit you not, folks, is 213 minutes long. That's as long as the 10 fucking commandments. You're fucking killing me over here. I'm trying, guys. I'm really trying.
And now, a very special edition of Late Night QRM X Edition. Starring Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual prophet. Tonight, Michael brings the rules of podcasting to the people.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord has given unto you these 15... 10 commandments for all to obey.
Barty worships false idols.
Those who will not live by the law shall die by the law.
He's lost faith in you, Bill.
Joel parts the Red Sea.
Bartholomew, hand me thy onion rings. Behold the power of God.
And Barry tortures his people.
Let my people go!
Yeah, Bob. Okay. Right after the Ingress report.
All this and more on the greatest story ever told!
Nah. It's just another edition of Late Night. QRM!
And now, digitally gathering, because we can... Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael!
I hear country music playing in the background.
I do.
It's the end of the last episode Barry released.
Oh! Yeah. Oh! Another one should have gone out an hour ago.
Oh, really?
Chat. Well,
haven't had a chance. It's been a busy day in the Hooper household today. I know that's a shock.
Really?
Busy? Yeah. Oh, it's David's graduation party today. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
Chris and I were up till 1:30 this morning decorating the community center. And then she was up probably another couple hours after that picking out photos for the slideshow that we had yet to figure out how to do in the new iPhone, or the new photos, not iPhoto.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah.
And
wow.
Then we got up and set up everything this morning, and I did a quick Periscope from.
All right, that's it. You know what? I gotta save this for the show, but I am going to inquire. my two best friends in the entire world, which happen to be you two guys. I'm not leaving Barty out, but I mean, I don't talk to Barty as often. I talk to you guys a couple times a week. I am going to set up a Twitter, and I need you guys to walk me through it. So I can Periscope.
Teaser. Go to Twitter.com, sign up for an account.
Yes, but as my beautiful bride once pointed out, she says, you don't have to put a ton of personal information in there, which is thing that I was a little apprehensive about.
Like Excuse me, Facebook. You just put your name. I think you just have to...
Any name you want, actually.
Actually, any name you want now, yeah.
Well, that's cool. So then I can use my Xbox One, which most people know, Xbox Live. I'm Grouchy Coffee Guy.
That would be cool.
You could. Yeah.
And then we can actually get you on the MMPR... we've been having a blast with this thing. I added Barry this week. I don't know if he's had a chance to look at it.
I haven't had a chance to look at it. I did go on there once, but it's been a very busy week for me, so I haven't.
Boy, there must have been it must be a theme as far as busy weeks for all of us. I mean, yeah. There, you know how we can all sometimes get together here. We get together on Saturdays and say, it was an okay week, a little busy here and there, but I think all of us have been like just straight out.
Yeah. It has. And yet I found time to put out 4 late night.
Yes,
I was impressed. That was incredible.
I am seriously impressed. I'm like, my phone's, you know, blinging away at me while it's on the nightstand. And I thought, holy crap, Barry's been busy. You're maximizing your Fios ability.
Well, actually, I got to say what I did was on Wednesday night. I said, I'll have time to edit all these shows. So let me go upstairs and get all the theme songs done or the theme parts done. So I went up and recorded all them. And, Barty, I just got a text message. Barty, are we Skyping in?
Yes,
I thought
are.
He wouldn't be here because it's Stanley Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Stanley Cup.
Wow.
I'm not sure I have him in my contacts list, though. This could be a problem.
I do.
Can you add him, though?
Don't know. Can I? Or can
does
I not?
He have, does he have a new account, or is it still his old one? I've got one, well, except he doesn't show him online.
It's the one that's like a road.
Oh,
like a road. Okay. I don't have that one, but I know that. Yes.
Okay, already, man. Mac.
He says,
I may have to create a new account. Oh, jeez.
No, right, I don't think he has to. Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here,
Barry.
Has somebody answered him?
Can you do that? I don't want to do that. I mean, we can't. You answer him. I'm trying to keep things as simple as possible on this end.
I'm entering him now.
All right.
Account.
I don't think he needs to.
I said you may not have to, or you may not have not to jab.
you may not jab to
a creepy at.
A creepy at.
Account.
I translated your voice like Google does. I see. I'm impressed.
Breakfast sausages for fingers. Wait, turn the iPhone sideways. Oh, my God, the keyboard's bigger. hold on.
He's got 2 strings going.
Name? Now my work iPhone's going off. What name do you want or use? What account do you use? That's what I should say.
Michael, you should be able to search for it.
Well, what comes up is his real name.
Well, that's all right.
All right, let me try that.
It should be, how can I put this?
I know what it was.
He knows what it is. Okay.
It just doesn't show up. Hang it.
I have his real name here.
Yeah.
And
it shows up as his real name on mine, too.
Now, did he lose the password for the first account or what?
I don't know.
Because it's still valid.
I don't know.
All right, so I just asked him. I said, what account? Wait, what am I reading to you guys for the podcast? You guys know what I'm saying.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's going ding. Podcast,
yes, what account do you use? The A1 or the B1? We'll see what he says. Boy, am I sure glad I didn't have too many podcasting supplies, or else I wouldn't be able to tape even more worser more worser. Okay, maybe I had too many podcasting supplies.
You may not need, you may not jab to critat a new account.
Shut up.
We've been there already.
That's
I just had to read it out loud. Fat finger syndrome.
Yeah, as I said, breakfast sausage fingers.
Question mark? Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's see if I can use that account anyhow.
Yeah, just ringing. Add it.
I'm trying. Hang on.
Let's face it. Barney, God bless him, has probably got... Oh, wait a minute. He's using the one from his old podcast.
Okay. It's the B one.
I don't have that address.
He's showing... You mean the original one with his name?
Yeah, well, this
is the
B one. The B one.
That starts with a B?
Yeah. Try typing that one in for search if you don't have it.
Well, search. All right, where's... Where
the hell... I'm going to try... Isn't this interesting listening?
It is. Oh, yeah.
It's about as interesting as the last podcast. Don't create a new account, Marty.
I don't have to go through verification and everything then.
No. We found.
I don't have it. Well, except he's got to be able to log in. That's been always the problem. All right, stop the messaging for a second. I can't get to the search window. It keeps covering it up.
He doesn't remember his password. And there doesn't seem to be any password assistance.
Oh, yeah,
Jesus. But I cannot log into Skype.
Try Abra.
Let me try moving this.
Kadabra.
Try I can't remember passwords. Hey, you actually spelled that out right.
No, trust me, it's spell checked.
Oh.
I still don't. I never had B or the other one in my contact list. I only had his original one.
That's funny. Try. I can't remember my passwords. All one word.
Oh, my. Am I sounding okay?
Yeah
you sound great.
Okay.
I mean, as good as, you know.
Is it windy in the background or something? Or
are you getting a little wind noise? It's not real windy. No. It's just a slight breeze.
Okay. Michael's got, like, Superman, Aquaman sonar hearing. I can barely hear, you know, shit.
It's just such a gorgeous night out down here.
It is. I can hear it. I can actually hear the Pennsylvania happiness.
Yeah. Birds tweeting, dogs barking.
And they all bark with a Pennsylvania accent.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
I hear the birds.
Yes, I heard chirp, 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 y'all.
Yeah.
Chirp, 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 y'all.
Y'all.
They say this y'all in Pennsylvania?
That's Sal. Use.
Well,
it'd be use here.
Yeah, you.
Chirp, chirp, yins. Chirp, use.
Yeah, use or yins. Yins going to go over here?
Yins is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you're still Pennsylvania, are you not? Yeah. I mean, granted, the state of Massachusetts can fit in Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh
ten times.
Is not part of Pennsylvania.
It is too.
No, it's not.
Right from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, that might be, but. It's not part of Pennsylvania. It's really part of Ohio or West Virginia. They just like to think they're part of Pennsylvania. The only true Pennsylvania part is right here around Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. Philadelphia, as I like to call it.
Where we go down the shore this time of year.
Yep. Yep.
To South Jersey.
Oh, yes, glamorous. Why don't you go visit Newark? You can get mugged in and at the same
Newark,
time.
That's North Jersey.
Whatever, Jersey.
No, it's not. South Jersey's nice. It's all farms and barrier islands. Ocean City.
Oh, you know what? Here's the fallacy, though. When you want to go to the casinos at Ocean City, what people don't realize is that you, at least unless they've changed it, you had to drive through the ghetto to get to the
boardwalk.
That's
Atlantic City, please. Don't. Oh. That's Atlantic City. That's where the casinos are. And there's only like two left, I think.
What, casinos?
Like, yeah.
It's been 20 years since I've been down there.
They're shutting down left and right all over the place.
I didn't think a casino could shut down.
Yeah. And there's only one town that they could shut down in, and that would be Atlantic City. There's too many casinos going up all over the place, and people are going, why would I want to go to that crap down Atlantic City?
Right. Why would I go exactly run through a demilitarized zone to get to a casino? Although I went down there, I said 20 years ago, I went down there. Actually, I saw Linda Ronstadt perform down in the hell casino was it?
Really? Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It was really, really, really quite painful, but my ex-girlfriend at the time went to go see it.
She was your ex-girlfriend at the time?
No, not Linda. Oh, Jesus. My God. Yes. And actually, I'm a filthy billionaire. I just like to pretend to be a blue-collar, poverty-stricken individual.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was Barty.
I love you guys. Oh.
I love you, too. Oh, Barty's had a couple of podcasting beverages. We love you, too.
I know.
We love you, too, man.
We're going to have the horny party tonight.
Oh, I said live. Shit. God damn
it. I love you guys. Go ahead and start the show. I will jump in when I get this working.
I've had a few podcasting beverages.
No need to deal the fun. No need to deal the fun.
Delay. I bet you.
Oh. Yeah, Joe. Love. Joel's had a few podcast G beverages. Beverages.
Beverages.
Beverages, yes.
We wouldn't want you any other way. Laugh out loud.
Oh, I've got pink clouds in the sky. I'm facing east, but the reflection of the sunset on the sky.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Red skies in morning, sailors take warning. Red skies at night, sailors delight. Yeah, so there you go.
I hope so, because I got to drive home tomorrow, so. And it would be nice if it was like this on the way home.
Oh, I figured out, by the way, how many ounces. But I was listening to our many of the podcasts that you've diligently been putting out, and I appreciate that, Barry, which is, and we talked about our sippy cups. Well, my little Bubba sippy cup, actually, I took Michael's advice, and I did an experiment. I did a late-night QRM measuring cup, pour water in, and figure out how much it actually holds experiment.
34 ounces. Wow.
So
that's a big sippy cup.
I think yours is probably about the same, sir.
And probably. I'll have to do the experiment here. Oh, not here. Back home.
Right.
It's not.
I'm going to have to use my unit conversion tool because I don't know how much that is in the metric system.
It's probably about 200 liters.
Let's see. I have, 34 cubic meters of rum and coke. No, that's not true. Where the hell is it? You son of a U.S. gallon. No, it's not a gallon. I'm working my way up to that. It's not a bushel.
I do have a bottom gear report, so.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I did not have onion rings in the Prius. So
No. It's a good bottom gear report. So.
What the hell is it? What the hell is liter? Oh, there it is.
Told you, it's about 200 liters.
No. 32
ounces, it says about 200 liters.
34 ounces, it says it's 1.005 cubic liters.
That's what I said, 200 liters.
You're saying 200, and it's saying 1. Jeez.
By the way, the Where Is Everybody episode, I had a blast listening to that. You know, all you would have needed is like a couple of Lee Coulter songs, and it would have been Radio QRM all over again.
I haven't got that. I got 5 minutes into it. I haven't got any further.
Ah.
Is that the one where we just kind of let it go?
Well, yeah, that's the one I was walking around the Woodstock Square, and then it was just you two.
After Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I got to send you guys a picture.
The backup for that was Waiting for Gajol.
Oh, why?
All right, should we officially start this thing?
Sure. I think we already have.
No, okay. Well, we haven't announced anything other than we're here.
Yeah, that's you haven't heard the one that went out tonight, which was the last one we did, I think. Or no, there was one of them. I edited so many this week.
Yeah.
There was one of them where, I just kind of stuck the theme somewhere in the middle and we just continued on.
Okay.
So this one could be one of those since it's an X.
Late night, QRMX, 183.
There we go.
There we go. From Studio V, overloading my 2010 MacBook with multiple programs at once. Okay.
Who are you?
Who am I? Oh, I'm Michael, the virtual Youper, your guest host tonight.
Right. from the southeast corner, still in New Hampshire, with many, many podcast beverages under his belt this evening, this is Joel.
And from the Zen-like deck at my sister's house in the northwest suburb of Philadelphia, we like to call Perky Omenville. Right next to Green Lane Park, I am Barry J.
And somewhere trying to create a Skype account is Barty.
Who I thought was I thought there were Stanley Cup playoffs going tonight.
Don't know.
I got some kind of notification.
Not... Yeah, Barty is trying to call us. But if you answer it, it dumps us out of the current call of the three of us.
Oh,
so Michael's got to call him.
He's got to send me a contact request first so I can see him.
Okay.
All right, hold on. If I answer him, I lose you guys, I think.
Send him an iMessage.
Send him a text.
Yeah, say send me a contact request on Skype so I can add him.
I went my sister and I, of course. Oh, what the hell was that? Oh.
Thanks, Michael Berry.
Is that this is the breakfast this morning. I see bacon. I see fried eggs. Oh, hard.
What are you looking at?
I see grits and I see Scrapple.
Oh, okay, you're looking at the iMessage. Oh no, yeah. Okay. There's the picture.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh. With the late night QRM mug.
Yes.
Wow. Classic. And I can tell you, you see this big plate of breakfast food. You got the grits with the pat of butter in the middle of it. You got three fried eggs, hard fried eggs. You got a whole group of Canadian bacon.
Yep.
And then there's the Pennsylvania scrapple right next to a big pile. And I can guarantee you, Joel probably ate a fourth of that.
Where'd Joel go?
I don't know.
I hope he didn't. Hope he didn't answer the call.
I hope not either. It still says he's. Where am I? Am I in? I'm in.
So I just got done talking to Barty, and he added virtual Youper, which the virtual Youper is the virtual Youper. There can be only one.
Yes.
And then the virtual Youper can send him a thingy and pull him into this call.
Yeah,
He didn't have you in his contacts. Except, that's why.
Well, right, but he's got to send me a contact request because I don't
He did. It's coming. Trust me. Because I actually, I listened to him type it into the search. He goes, oh, there it is. And then he said to me, send a contact request to Virtual Youper. And he hit enter. So I heard it.
Oh, so there he is.
See? I wouldn't lie to you.
I think I could have even added somebody here because I've got a button here that has a person with a plus next to it on my cell phone, on my iPhone.
I just hit add to call. So let's
see. Yep. Well, we'll wait and see if Skype can work its magic. The magic of Skype. Now, I'm looking for on the computer here. I don't see an add to call or like a plus button kind of thingy.
I think you have to go. I forget where it is on the computer.
Yeah,
on the phone, it makes it. They make it very easy to find.
It's here it is. Here it is. Add to call. So if I go like this, and there then I go like,
Barty,
hey, wearing my original six NHL shirt.
Hey, how come you're not watching Stanley Cup?
I am. I rearranged my office. I brought in my iMac into the office, and I've got the game streaming live on my other DSL connection here in the office so I can join the guys that I've been missing so much. I listened to you guys for like 3.5 hours I think it was 4.5 hours at work yesterday. And like nobody else in the building could hear what I was listening to, but they could hear me laughing my ass off. And they were asking me, are you okay? I think they thought I was drunk or something. But man, the episodes I've been missing, I did not want to miss anymore because you guys are friggin' awesome.
Oh, wow. Good to see you and hear you. And we can actually hear you.
Yeah.
It's working.
Oh, well, that's because I'm going through my my podcasting microphone. I've got because the headset is working kind of flaky. I've got my mix board plugged into my MacBook Pro, and you're hearing me through my microphone that I used to use way back in the day. I think I quit using it because you were picking up too much noise from the adjoining room. I don't really remember what that was, but so to kind of minimize that, I went to the headset.
Sounds good now, brother.
Cool. All right, and I just checked GarageBand, by the way, getting real nervous after listening to New Hampshire After Hours, and we are, in fact, recording.
Nice.
Good.
I want to shut my video off so we don't burn up too much bandwidth because I don't want to bang on your system on the server too much, Michael. Or do you think it's going to matter?
I'm fine here. I'd be more worried about Barry's bandwidth. But Barry, you're just on audio, right?
He's on Fios.
Oh,
please.
He's on Fios over Wi-Fi.
I got like 35 up.
I ain't worried about Barry's bandwidth.
That's right.
Ooh, la, la.
He's got the ooh la la bandwidth going. Oh, by the way, I commented to your comment.
I saw it. Fuck you.
I love the witty repartee in this show.
we dance around things delicately, yes.
If anybody's interested, it's 1-0 Tampa Bay right now, early in the second period.
Really? Good. Tampa Bay.
Against who?
Against who?
Chicago Blackhawks. What do you mean, guess who? Man, my whole life has been nothing but hockey for the past couple of months. Last year, I wasn't able to watch much hockey because Dish Network didn't cover the two networks that put out hockey games. So, I was like going nuts. But finally, this year they opened it up, and I can watch all kinds of hockey, and I've just been in a Canucks kind of euphoria here. It's just been amazing.
Wow. Very cool. I don't think we got show notes, though, so we're just going fast and loose on this one.
This is a late night QRMX. We're just winging it, dudes.
It's a wing it one. Yeah, I didn't get show notes up.
We can at least start out with what we're all drinking tonight. I mean, that usually seems to be the first topic.
It does. It's usually a large precursor on how the show's going to roll.
Yep. So I'll start off as the guest host tonight. I have a still working on those two small bottles that I bought a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, of Kahlua and vodka. So I have made a Black Russian in a sea, if you can see my sippy cup.
Nice! He's got the sippy cup going.
Yeah, got a sippy cup full of ice, and then I made a double Black Russian. And just a skosh of Mark. I didn't have any cream, but Mark had some Bailey's flavored coffee creamer.
Oh.
So I put just a tad of that in there. Ooh, that is good.
you got a like chemistry thing going.
And then I'll be chasing that with a Sprite after this to keep things a little bit on the level since I'm at the controls tonight. So over to you, I guess, Joel.
Well, as Barry and I were talking earlier, I figured out, for those who didn't know, just for, I don't know, minor reference, the sippy cup of 34 ounces is filled with, ready for this, Captain Morgan's 100 proof rum and cream soda.
And how many of these have you had?
I'm on my third.
How many?
No, that we talked about grits already.
yeah, I know.
Yes.
The best episode,
oh God,
man.
They were good. You know, grits I ate like them again for dinner.
You guys made me want to go out and buy grits.
They're good.
You didn't hear my Joe. You were talking to Barty at the time, but I the picture you sent, I described it and everything, and you know all the portions and everything, and then I said, and Joel ate probably a quarter of it.
No, actually, I ate everything on that plate except for two strips of bacon.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
I wanted
to go.
You know, I sent you a picture, Barty, which is what I had for lunch today. But I woke up from listening to Michael's Virtual Youper episode where he went on and told us about grits for a good long time. And then when Barry and I were talking about it.
Yeah, I heard those.
And honest to God, I stayed up a little late last night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, playing Advanced Warfare. And really? I woke up this morning saying, I have grits and scrapple. And Debbie was getting ready to take Watson out. She's like, we're going out for a long walk. I said, good, I'm going to Market Basket to go get Polish slab, bacon, grits, and scrapple. She goes, what are your plans for? Yeah, and she said, well, what are your plans for today? I said, to cook it and eat it. That's my plans for today. Cook bacon, scrapple, grits, and eggs. That's the highlight.
You just lost
in this
Barry.
Show. We did?
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty tall. We'll find him again. He sticks out.
Looks like he's calling him.
Yeah, I heard the episodes where you guys were talking about grits. And I wanted to mention that, oddly enough, my first introduction to grits.
That's like,
Barty. Before we get on to grits, let's finish the important beverage.
Oh yeah,
beverage. So, Barty, you're up, and then we'll pass it over to Barry, and then we'll get back to grits. We can't talk enough about grits. So over to you, Barty. What are you drinking?
I'm enjoying some fine E&J brandy, gentlemen.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh la la, and Barry,
Mr. Transcendental Barry.
I'm just it's just me and the zen-like transcendental tones of the tubular bells here tonight. Because I am currently in a dry home because everybody's on a diet.
Oh!
What about the 2-year-old beer you talked about a few episodes ago?
In the garage. This 2-year-old Yingling sitting in that garage corner somewhere.
Where? At my sister's house?
Yeah.
Oh, the last time you were talking, there was an episode I was listening to at work yesterday where you were talking that you were drinking some beer that you and Joel had worked on, and you just thought it was a year old, but it turned out it was 2 years old.
That's back
in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's in Pennsylvania.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Right.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we're down there.
No, he's in Pennsylvania now.
The beer's back in New Hampshire.
Yeah, the dog drool is back in Pennsylvania, and so is the beer.
Okay. That's the part.
Or, excuse me. I get back in studio.
No, you got it.
The bells. Boy, the bells.
I bet you brought that with you. You know, I like the bells.
I made them all ring. She's got three sets out here.
No.
But I dropped out for a little bit. I lost my Wi-Fi connection, so I think I'm on the very edge of her Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Look at that chill. By the way, the hockey game has changed around dramatically. It is now 2-1 Chicago.
Holy All right, go sake. Chicago. I'll root for whoever's ahead.
I won't go into this now.
I can tell you my brother-in-laws are definitely rooting for Blackhawks. Yep. No, my brother-in-laws they're in the Chicago area, so they're rooting for the Blackhawks.
That's why I said it.
Barry, you're dry tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm dry.
And what is your dry beverage of choice?
I have no beverage. I'm just outside enjoying
really dry
oneness with nature.
How dry I am. How dry I'll be.
Super dry.
Yes, I'm just enjoying the beautiful weather, the beautiful Pennsylvania weather right now. And trying to now stay. I was doing good. Now I'm trying to stay in Wi-Fi range.
Yeah, you did drop out for a bit. I mean, you dropped out of Skype for a bit, too.
Yeah, I lost the connection. I had to come back in. So, it's all right. It's all good. I got the bells.
Okay, Barty. I'm sorry, I interrupted your grits. So, let's get back to something tasty here.
Well, I really got into the grits discussion, and it really kind of killed me because I really wish that I had been there to comment because, oddly enough, my introduction to grits was totally outside the United States. Back when I was in the Air Force, I got stationed to a small remote site in eastern Turkey that had big screens facing towards the Ukraine. And we had a mobile radar that could lock in on targets that those screens detected being launched. But, during the Gulf War, we used that that movable radar to detect Scud launches. The whole site reported directly to Cheyenne Mountain. So it was really kind of interesting because, all those Scud launches that were being detected were actually being detected from Turkey. While I was there working the midnight shift, I'd be getting out of work, really early in the morning and going off to the chow hall for breakfast. And I got tired of the same old fare. Tampa Bay just tied the game, by the way. And
all right, go Tampa Bay.
So this will be so much history by the time people hear it. Although maybe you're kicking out shows, Barry. Who knows? But anyway, one of the things that I tried just because I wanted to vary my diet was grits, because I got sick and tired of eating oatmeal every day on the way back to work, and especially since the oatmeal wasn't necessarily very well made. It was awfully mushy and stuff. So I thought, what the hell is this grit stuff? So I went ahead and tried that, and you throw some butter and some pepper and into that, and it was tasty. It was, well, I had high blood pressure problems, so I tried to avoid salt.
Yeah,
even way back then.
I also had a little bit of half and half.
Yeah, so I really got into eating grits, and even when I got back to the States, I continued buying grits for a while, and it was, unfortunately, the instant grits, because that seemed to be the only damn thing I could find.
Right.
And I really kind of enjoyed grits. They're really not bad. They were a very tasty breakfast fare.
Yep, yeah, with a couple of eggs over easy and some bacon or toast, I'm telling you, I could just have eggs and grits for breakfast, and I'm fine. I don't need the toast. I don't need the bacon. Just eggs and grits.
I too like Barty. Grits.
Oh, sorry, Barry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I too like Barty discovered grits O'Conus. Actually, in Misawa, Japan, is where I first tried grits and fell in love with them. Also, in the Air Force. So it must be an Air Force thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I was well, Misawa,
you know what? You flyboys always eat good. First rule. Flyboys always eat good right behind the Navy boys.
Well, the big joke was that if you ever gave the Air Force an aircraft carrier, they'd put dirt on it and install a golf course.
With a big water hazard.
really. But the evidence of that is the fact that out at Edwards Air Force Base, they drilled separate wells simply to establish a golf course. It was the water wells were separate from the base populace. It was just for the golf course, and they had a kick-ass golf course out in the middle of the desert.
Priorities are important, Well, that's
Barty, Misawa had an excellent 18-hole golf course.
Yes, they did. They did. And I really used to like the one hole, I think it might have been the 9th or the 10th, where you were looking up at the at the tops of the trees, and you had to lift your ball up over the trees, but not too hard because you wanted it to drop down just behind the trees so it would hit the green. Because if you hit the hill behind that, it would roll right across the green and into a hazard.
Yep. I remember that hole.
Oh, God. I played so much golf there. I started playing golf out at Whiteman, my first assignment, because it was a good excuse for the whole shop to go out and get plastered. And we didn't really do much with golf, but we did tend to finish 18 holes. It's just that we tend to mess up a couple of golf carts along the way. But in Japan, I wanted to continue it, and I got kind of serious about it. I actually bought my own clubs and everything. And it was a blast. I had a very good time. I can't stand to watch golf. But it's fun to play.
Love
for me,
play it.
It's not a game of skill. It's a game of luck. Because when I hit the ball, no telling where the hell it's going to go.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. We had some good times playing golf in Misawa. And I, too, was trying to get better at it, which I failed to do. But the interesting thing, Misawa was kind of like, Uperland there, except at the opposite end. Of course, they didn't change their time, so in the summertime, the sun would rise in the morning earlier and earlier and earlier, and you could literally, I sometimes would go out on a Sunday morning, I'd leave the house at 2:30, arrive at the golf course about 2:45, 3 o'clock, and you could play 18 rounds of golf and then go back home when everybody else was showing up and go back to bed for a while.
Wow. That's what I used to do, because if you got there early, you could golf for free.
Yeah. Well, I had a membership, but I did too.
But you didn't have to pay any greens fees or anything like that if you got there before they opened. They didn't care when you finished. As long as you got there before they opened, you could just golf for free.
That's right. And so I used to get up early and then go back to bed.
Had to get up that early.
Well, I know, but it was fun. I was done at 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Well, you were better than I was because it took me longer.
Well, it was just me playing. I didn't go with anybody.
It was just me playing. I tell you, for me, golf is not a game of skill. It's a game of luck. I smack the ball, and it goes where it wants to go, and I try to make the best of it where it lays. But I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I can't stand to watch golf, but
yeah, I don't mind watching golf. My wife likes to watch golf. We watch it every once in a while. I didn't watch it as much this year as we did last year. We used to, eat Sunday dinners and watch golf.
Right.
You know? But it can be a little dry. But, oh, well, what can I say? Sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
So I guess I can tell you that I did come down here on Thursday, had beautiful weather actually coming down because it was overcast. And why I say that's beautiful weather because, I'm driving basically southwest the entire time. And if the sun's out, it's usually in your eyes the entire way down. So the overcast sky made it a pleasant ride, except for the beginning where I was on. I cut across where I live in Jaffrey. Okay, get your Google Maps out.
Yeah.
So where I live in Jaffrey, I need to get to Interstate 91, which is down it's in Massachusetts, western Massachusetts, and goes up through Vermont. But what I do from Jaffrey is I go down to Route 119, cut across to Route 10, and then catch 91. Well, right. I'm on 119, which basically is a country road, even though it's got a number. And, lots of hills and curvy things. Well, I'm about halfway down 119, and all of a sudden I get behind this oversized load. And there is a New Hampshire State Police car. The oversized load trucks, the cars that carry the sign. And then there's the tractor trailer that has this huge piece of metal. It looked like it was part of an overpass. that they were probably building somewhere. And so, and then of course the other oversized load car and another New Hampshire State Police car in front of that. So, and they're on 119. I said, what the hell are they doing on 119? But anyway, so the rest of the way down 119, I'm doing 20 to 25 miles an hour because you can't pass.
Right.
You know, you just have to do it. So I said, okay, yeah, well, good. Yeah, so maybe they'll turn off or something. And but needless to say, all the way down to Winchester, check your map.
Yeah, I got it.
They're there. I finally, so I said, well, screw this. They kind of pulled over to the side. I hit a couple portals, and I got in front of them. And that's where you pick up Route 10. Now, Route 10,
I love
Route
it,
10 is kind of the same way. It's another country road that goes through a couple of small towns, and I'm on that, and I'm saying, wow, well, at least I'm in front of those guys now. And I'm going through the last light on Route 10, and you go up and over a hill and down this long hill, and you end up in Northfield, Massachusetts. So I'm going up the hill, and all of a sudden I see another New Hampshire State Police car, the oversized load sign car, another one of these huge tractor trailers with carrying another huge piece of what I'm assuming is overpass, and you know, the whole little thing. And so I'm stuck again. 20, and this time we're literally doing 20 miles an hour because we're going up a pretty steep hill. So I said, oh God. And so I'm following them, and we go down the hill, and then we get near the state line, and where New Hampshire and right before Northfield, New Hampshire ends, Massachusetts starts. And all of a sudden they pull over. I said, good. And I said, I wonder why they're pulling over here. Well, oh, it's the state line. New Hampshire State Police guys have to go, and they pick up their Massachusetts State Police escorts there because now they're going through Massachusetts. So I said, well, good thing they have to get them, because I'm going to zip around, and I'm past them. And I'm like, good. And I'm still on 10. I'm going through Northfield. Look in your Google Maps, people. And I get through Northfield, and I'm just on the south side of Northfield. And there's another convoy, or whatever, part of the convoy, whatever.
In Massachusetts. And,
and I said, oh, my God. So I'm behind him, and, of course, you make a right-hand turn on Route 10 to get down to where you pick up 91. And he's turning around. And, of course, they got all sorts of cops there because he has to take this wide turn to get around the turn. And so wait through that, he gets over, and then they kind of pull over. Well, actually they keep going, but the road goes into two lanes for a little bit, 'cause you're going up this hill. Well, okay, they're in the right lane. Boom. I go past these guys, get up there, and I'm cruising along. I said, okay, well, I'm going to be on 91 soon. I'm coming down the hill toward 91, and there's another one. And then this time I don't have a way to get around them or anything. I said, well, I don't know where they're going. I said, I bet you they're going on 91. And sure enough, the interchange came up.
Sounds like a likely assumption.
And I said, well, maybe they're going north. Nope, they're going south. And so they're in front of me. I take the interchange slowly around behind these guys. I said, well, at least it's 91. I'll be able to pass them. 91 up there is just four lanes, you know, two each direction. And so I said, they're going to be over in the slow lane, the right-hand lane. I'll jump into the left-hand lane and get around them. Okay, so we're going up, and so I start moving over to the left-hand lane. And no, they went into the left-hand lane, and they stayed in the left-hand lane. And so by that time, I also went into the left-hand lane. I said, I got to pass them on the right. So I'm trying to get over on the right. Well, now all the traffic that was on the highway is in the right-hand lane. And I finally move over there, and I said, well, come on, pass them. Go, go. No, everybody's afraid to pass the Massachusetts State cop escort. So we're doing 60 miles an hour in a 65 zone. Man. Down 91, because nobody wants to pass this convoy that's in the left-hand lane with Massachusetts State Police escorts. So all the way down to Springfield.
Oh.
I'm following this guy doing, well, at least they were doing 60, 65, okay?
Right.
But, you know, right. 91, that's, it's not only the route number, it's also the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was doing that. So finally get down to Springfield where it opens up into three lanes on each side. Suddenly people aren't afraid to pass them. Finally get past this guy, but the traffic's busy because it's Springfield. And get past it, get up in front of these guys, and get in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden the traffic comes to a complete halt. And luckily it wasn't a total halt, it was a halt, and then slowly go by. And I see all these lights and everything on the northbound side. There's some accident that happened, and it's all backed up. And, of course, on the southbound side, we're all rubbernecking to see what happened. You know? So finally, we finally get past Springfield, and three lanes. It finally opens up. I can start going a little bit faster, and the trip was great from there on. But yeah, that was the beginning of the trip. It was an interesting ride down with the, and I just wonder where that overpass is going, because they were going south of Springfield. That's all I know. So that was my trip down. Nice weather down here. Went out Thursday night. We stopped at Pudge's up here my sister's house because my old buddy Rick said, you know, the Pudge's in Bluebell isn't the same people that used to run it when we lived there. They moved up to Culpsville, which is right up here where my sister lives. So we stopped there, and sure enough, I was talking to of course, Pudge died long ago, but it was his daughter that runs the place. And so we were talking, and I was telling her how, yeah, when we were kids, we used to go into Bluebell, and Pudge used to actually make our cheesesteaks and stuff, you know, right there. And then I was asking them, and I guess they sold the rights to the name to a couple different franchises. So, but they're not the same. I got a true Pudge hoagie.
Really?
Yes, you know, it's about 3 feet long.
Yep.
And they cut it in half, and I mean, it is literally stuffed with all fresh lettuce. It's not that super fine chopped up lettuce. It's torn apart lettuce and you know, strings of onions and real tomato chopped up, and of course, you know, the ham and the salami and the cheese, the two types of cheeses and all that stuff and this huge sandwich. I still got half of it in the refrigerator. I only ate half that night. I mean, there was one time when
a 3-foot-long sandwich. How can you sit there and eat it in one sitting?
Well, there was a time when I could.
We were all a lot younger back then.
But not now. But so... It'll be good, though, because it'll be a well-seasoned... and she goes, mayonnaise or oil? Well, there was a day once where you went to Pudge's, and they didn't ask you mayonnaise or oil. It was oil.
Oil.
That's all you got.
All you get.
Yeah, and but I looked at her, and I went, oil. She smiled. So, total cost for two large hoagies... Mm-hmm. At Pudge's was $16. No,
not bad at all.
No, that was one. It's $32.
Oh, okay. Wow.
$16 for a 3-foot super stuffed hoagie.
Yep.
Down there. Wow, but it's worth
it. I mean, it's like three meals.
Yeah. Barty, I wish I didn't take a picture this time. If I could take a picture of this thing, you'd say, yeah, that's $16 worth of hoagie of food there.
See how much lunch meat and lettuce and tomato and onion and everything that's in there?
Yeah, it was good. But boy, that was good. And then the last couple of nights we've gone down to the, I think I talked about this last time we came down, the supermarkets down here have a buffet inside the supermarket. So we went to the buffet and got food. And then they even have a sitting area. And so you can go sit and eat your buffet. And they have quite good food. And it's like $12 for all you can eat.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we did that the past couple of nights because we were down at my dad's house in Bluebell. And we were working outside. And then my sister and I were inside the house. He's in assisted living now. And so we were inside the house and we were going over stuff and trying to rearrange things. And some stuff's going to have to get thrown out and other stuff. It's going to stay, but we're trying to organize it better because, you know, it's literally all over the house. And if you can imagine what a house would look like with a guy that's he'll be 93 in August. And mm-hmm. he's been living in that house alone for the last 10 years since my mom passed away. He's not the neatest person in the world. And when you get up at that age, you don't tend to want to clean much, you know. So, mm-hmm.
Also, your the house ability is not to clean is a bit reduced
yes,
as well.
Yes, right. And he's also of that generation that you don't spend a penny unless you absolutely have to. And, hiring a house cleaner was not on top priority on his list.
Right.
Yeah. That's the depression mentality.
Yes, it is. They
people who went through the depression have got these habits of, like reusing plastic bags if they're not soiled. When you put something dry in it, and if it's still dry, you use it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And you can see that clearly in the house. And of course, as you get older, you tend to not want things to change. So anytime we were down there visiting him when he was living there and you tried to help him clean up stuff, he would get upset. No, don't do that. Don't touch that. No.
Yeah.
I want it exactly where it is. You know? So now that he's out of there, we're doing some cleanup.
I can relate because when I first met my wife and started hanging around with her family and visiting her grandparents and things, her grandfather was a guy that had latched on to 8mm early, and he had all these old family videos that everybody was totally bored with seeing because every time the family got together, he wanted to show these films, right? Well, to me, these were brand new. I had never seen these things, you know, and her whole family had seen them ad infinitum, you know, and were sick and tired of seeing them. But to me, they were slices of Americana from, like, decades ago. I mean, they were like parades in, like, Hudson Falls, New York, and things that, like, they don't do these days. You know, like Memorial Day parades and 4th of July parades and family get-togethers where people were trying to do like Roy Rogers, run up behind a horse and, you know, slap it on the back and jump up on it.
Yeah.
They had like uncles that would try to do that and run up there, slap the horse on the butt and smack it in the butt and fall down and the horse would crap on the guy. You know, I thought it was like funny as hell. But all these movies to me were like historical glimpses into like 30 years ago, 20 years ago. It was like really cool. I mean, it was all like black and white Super 8 movies. Well, every time he wanted to show those things, I would say, yeah, okay. And it of course, I have to admit that part of it was the fact that he was really ill into Pilsner beer. And if you were willing to watch movies with him, he would fill you with as much Pilsner beer as you could drink. A young guy, that was kind of cool, too. You know, but these movies were like, to me, they were like historical relics. You know, it was like really neat to watch these things.
Wow.
You know, so I guess when you were talking about that, it brought that memory back to me. You know, about Tony's now deceased grandfather that was really into all this stuff. And to him, it was like looking back into his past and the family was tired looking at it. And to me, it was like piece of American history. You know, it's like this is the way America was back in the day. You know, it's really neat.
it's funny when we were going through stuff in the house, you know, we'd be going through this and that, and we'd be moving along, and all of a sudden we'd find a batch of pictures, you know, and it's like all of a sudden everything, yeah, all production stopped as we sit there and went through the pictures and looked, and, you know, some of them were us, some of them were before us, you know,
right.
And, you know, so I found this one album that my mom had of her family. And the pictures in it, the album is not in good shape, but all the pictures inside it are good. And underneath was the name of the person written in. And these pictures, I'm looking at the dress of these of the people in these pictures, and they go back to Civil War time, at least.
Wow.
When photography first started, because
tintypes.
You can just tell by the dress of what they were wearing, especially the women and even the guys, you know, so it was like, this is a treasure, you know. To other people it may not matter, but to me, because I kind of do the genealogy thing in the family, and I found all this. I said, oh my God, you know, I'm going to have to get back up on Ancestry.com and scan these pictures in, check, you know, double check the links we already have, and upload the pictures of these people in Ancestry.com just to add it, because it was like, to me, to other people it may not be that great, but to me, wow, these are people from my past, you know, my family, and so it was exactly. It was really interesting, you know.
Yeah, I can relate to that totally, Barry.
Yeah,
I love that.
So yeah, and there's a lot of old stuff like that. So, you know, I'm bringing that stuff home. I found a bunch of my old albums that I'm bringing home because Anne-Marie was trying to hook up, and this is interesting, which I really didn't even think about it before, but, you know, her stereo finally gave up the ghost, that she had since the early 80s. I mean, it was a great stereo. Boom. And basically the volume, you probably fix it, but the volume control was screwed up and everything. And let's face it, it's a 40-year-old, almost 40-year-old piece of audio hardware there.
I'd be careful about getting rid of the speakers.
Oh, the speakers are fine. The speakers are Bose speakers. And they still work.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that a lot of the speakers that are made these days are not as good as the speakers made back in the day.
No, they're not. But what we did was we took our old home theater amplifier, which a couple of the HDMI ports went bad on it, so it wasn't good for use in the television, but it's a perfectly good stereo speaker, you know, stereo system. So we put that in there, and she wanted to listen to some records, and lo and behold, we're looking. I said, oh yeah, there's no such thing as turntables these days anymore, even though vinyl's coming back, but they don't put the preamps and stuff. There's no place to plug a turntable in the back of the box.
You're right, the amplifiers aren't, but the turntables are being made.
Yes, they are. But lo and behold, on eBay, or not eBay, on Amazon, my wife did some research and she told me to look them over. But they sell a separate little box, and it's a turntable amplifier preamp that you can buy.
Yep.
Plug it in, and then plug that into the back of one of the auxiliary ports on the back of these things, and it works fine. So that came in on Friday. So I got to hook that up. But I found a bunch of my old albums, so they're coming home with me.
All right, Barry. Vinyl rules.
We're going to get into the vinyl thing for a while. So.
All right.
Hey, with all the pops and cracks.
I did find on Amazon.com, I did find, I can't remember the, I can go in the next room and look at it, but I think it was an Akai turntable that did plug into the old style amplifiers and had a USB connection that you could plug in directly to a computer.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Wow. So that is available, and you can put in the older cartridges on it. It's a for real honest to goodness turntable that had that offers interchangeable cartridges, because I bought a separate Shure cartridge to go on it, as opposed to the default thing that that came on it, and it works really well.
The thing is both my wife and I have our, and we had decent turntables, and we still have them, and they still work. So we just needed to find a way to amplify the music coming off of them. So that's cool. And the other thing you got to remember too, that was with all these stereos and these preamps come with it, was what do they call it? The RIAA filter
equalizer
that's on there, because it adds the extra bass and stuff that's needed that comes off of an LP.
You don't need that. If you have a old style amplifier, it will understand all the bass from an LP.
Yeah, well, we don't have an old style. Like I said, it's a more modern day home theater amplifier. So, but it's built into the preamp, so that's good. So
yeah, right. It ain't got no bass unless you put in the bass speaker, which means bass is mono and not stereo.
That's
true. One of those too. I got one of those too, and the bass sounds come out of the middle. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, you know, disco. That's all they cared. You know, it didn't matter. Yeah,
but bass. Yeah. Even when they put it out of two different channels, bass usually, it's just the nature of the frequency and everything kind of goes all over the room anyway. So that's why these 5.1s only have one bass speaker, because it didn't matter if you divvied up the bass; it all sounded like it was coming from one spot anyway.
I beg to differ. So, in jazz music, you've got all kinds of bass, and it's in all different places. You've got all kinds of bass instruments, and I've got a four speaker stereo system that I listen to a lot of my jazz music in, and they're all producing different bass.
The subwoofers usually only handle like the bass drums and stuff like that. The other bass is usually handled by the other speakers, because say bass, there's the deep bass, which is usually
the
bass drum which has one microphone in front of it.
In typical modern music, there is no real bass. It's a synthetic bass.
Oh yeah, now
it's added. You know,
no, but I'm talking about even like if you
musicians anymore.
If you do the Dave Brubeck, Brubeck quartet. They have one microphone.
We mentioned that a couple of. You guys mentioned that a couple of times in the past episodes, and I love Take Five. And the bass sounds in that are on two different channels. You hear some bass sounds on the right, and you hear other ones on the left. And the music is just so amazing to listen to because of that. Because it's so active and it's so alive.
Well, if they did, they must have done it post-production, because there's only one microphone in front of the bass drum. So,
but, you have like a bass guitar, and you have other bass sounds.
Yeah, but most of that bass is handled in the other speakers. You know, that the subwoofer on audio on the home theaters, that's really for explosions and bass drums. You know, you don't really hear too much else coming out of those things. So, now, unfortunately, a lot of the home theaters don't have the speakers that can handle the upper bass, I'll call it.
You need to have an 8-inch woofer or larger to really reproduce a real bass sound.
Yeah. So, and we do. I mean, we got real stereo speakers that have the woofers in them also. So,
yeah.
And that that's handles
what I have. I've got the my audio system has got four speakers that have two of them have 12-inch woofers and two of them have 10-inch woofers, and then they have the mid range and the tweeter. My game system, that's the one that has the bass speaker for explosions and things. Because let's face it, we all like to hear a good loud explosion, you know, when it happens. You know,
so Joel, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I haven't heard anything from Michael and Joel, so I'm assuming Joel's found at least four diesel pickup trucks.
Actually, I'm researching the swap out of a diesel pickup truck engine, the 12 valve, 5.9 liter, and what the expense might be. Because I'm looking at a diesel pickup right now. It's got 214,000 miles on it, which it's getting that's getting up there for the 12 valve Cummins diesel, but it still has some life left in it if it hasn't been abused. So, but the price seems right. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I was doing.
Should we roll? Should we roll into bottom gear?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's. Oh wait a minute. I don't.
That's to say, how are you gonna play the song off your iPhone?
We need to get those up in Dropbox so I can start.
Yeah, really.
I'll get them to you.
All right.
Wait a minute. Am I done doing the song? Or doing the song? Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. And tonight we have a few stories to tell about our automotive woes and mechanical worries. Barry, take it away.
Well, first, I have positive news about the beloved Prius.
La 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 la.
Do do do.
Wait a minute, I gotta hit the note. Wait a minute.
Blucher.
All right. Well, I'll start off with the lovely Prius. And, of course, I drove the Prius down here. And I've got to tell you that I'm quite happy with my beloved car because... okay, get your Google Maps out again, people, because I was almost on empty. Matter of fact, it was dinging, saying add fuel as I left my house. And I drove down to Fitzwilliam to the local mobile station there. Yeah. I tapped it out. I took about 10 gallons of gas, okay, and I went and got the required super monster drink, the kind with the spin cap, and also some trail mix, which I will say, if you're driving by yourself, trail mix is a bad food to try to eat when you're driving down a highway. Just want to say that. You just can't, you know, my knees could not keep at 80 miles an hour. My knees could not keep the steering wheel in the place so I could take two hands to dump trail mix into my hand and get it in my mouth. So anyway, so trail mix is definitely out when you're driving. But anyway, so I start on my journey down here. I start on my journey down here. I arrive at my sister's house. How many miles is it?
A lot.
It's like 300 and some miles, I think.
I like that. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. Check your Google Maps. Have half a tank of gas.
Seriously? You still have half a tank of gas?
I have half a tank of gas. I was getting between 50 and 56 miles to the gallon all the way down.
It's mostly downhill,
impressive.
Right?
It, you know what? It is mostly downhill.
I was just joking, Barry.
But you know, I pay attention to these things. I said, why am I getting such great gas mileage? And I can only come up with three things. Of course, we're on the summer blend of gas now.
Yes.
So that's better.
That's the good stuff.
I've got my all seasonal tires on, which is, you know, more attuned to summer driving.
They're harder tires. Yep.
Huh?
They're harder tires.
Yeah. And three, it's mostly downhill, I think. I will tell you, I've been driving around. I drove yesterday down to, we had to go over to Salverton for a little bit and then down to Bluebell. That's probably about an hour's trip down to where my dad lives. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes to an hour. So roughly, you know, I want to say 20 to 30 miles because of the traffic here. And back. and we drove it around today and everything. And I pulled into the driveway here, and I've got, we know the dots that go across. You know, Joel and I figured out that they represent cups of gasoline.
Yes, yes, the dots are cups.
Yes, I have one cup of gasoline still left in the car,
nice,
which will give me plenty of gas to get over to the gas station, put in another 10 gallons, and make my way home to New Hampshire from here.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm quite happy with the Prius, and it did an excellent job, with no problems whatsoever. And the air conditioning was working marvelously.
No Sbarro problems?
No Sbarro problems whatsoever.
Oh, God. I love that. Those discussions in the past few shows. It just cracked me up.
Just as a FYI, now, we're supposed to get together next Saturday, aren't we? At your house?
Are we? Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you said
probably not after what you got to say now.
Oh, yes. I sent you that urgent, extremely important
yes.
email you need, at work.
You need pasta salad stat.
I sent him an email. I said,
what?
What?
Question marks. Points in the. I think I basically said, I just ran out of pasta salad.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I thought, all right, I'll whip up another big ass batch of pasta salad and bring it up to you. And hang out. And we'll do
French fries on the way up.
No, not French fries. Onion rings.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's onion rings.
Burger King onion rings. By the way, my wife banned me from eating those. We stopped at Burger King. What was it? Wednesday?
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
This is the late night QRM version of Drive Through Diaries.
It is, actually. And
Anthony and Jason, listen up.
I called my beautiful bride, and this is not Top Gear related, but it is kind of way because we're talking about onion rings and the Prius. And I said, hey, honey, what, I was working late. Killer week. Killer friggin' week this week. Good news and yada, 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 but... I said, honey, what do you want to do for dinner? She's like, I don't feel like cooking. She had a hard day herself. She said, pick up Burger King on the way home. I'm like, all righty, will do. And Barry, I thought of you because I went to the drive-thru and I got my Whopper with cheese, Royale with cheese, and extra onions, and two orders of onion rings because I will be through one large order of those onion rings before the car rolls out of the parking lot.
Oh, no.
That's how fast I eat them. And then I got home, and I had my Royale with cheese. Actually, that's McDonald's quarter pounder. But I had my Whopper with cheese, and I ate my second large onion ring. And about an hour and a half later, my wife said she was going to make me sleep out on the deck.
I don't blame her, man. I don't blame her. For the way you talked about your issues with that, I don't blame her a bit.
Honest to God, the dog left the room. The cats left the room. I think we had a fish die. It was bad, man. It was, well, yeah, you know, actually, you know, it's one of those things where I actually apologized to her when I did leave having used the head, and I came out, and I said to her, I said, I'll touch up the paint later. And because... It's peeling off the walls now. But yeah, I'll make sure to pick up some onion rings before I stop up.
Oh, thanks.
Lucky you, Barry. You're going to be all alone with him up there in the
No, actually, you know what? You know what?
With the fresh paint in the wall. And here, Joel's going to show up after a couple of large onion rings from Burger King and recolor the paint.
You know what? You like a horn section? I'm going because you busted my chop for blaming me for breaking your air conditioning. I still owe you on this one, brother.
No!
I'm going to play you a Dave Burbeck song with the biggest horn section you've ever heard in your life.
Burbeck or Brubeck?
Brubeck, sorry.
Brubeck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give you a rendition of Take Five that'll take them brand new windows right out the wall.
Take Five windows out. Pound out the glass in no time.
Oh, my.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you
got on. When did I get to know this guy?
On a positive note, with your Prius, I was working with a field engineer for 3 days this past week, trying to get a machine all squared away and back in line. It's one of the absolute toughest, crappiest jobs in the circuit board manufacturing industry you can do. And so I was working with Rich, and he's a real good guy. He lives in New Hampshire too, and he drives a Prius. He comes all the way down from Weir's Beach to where. Workout just outside of Boston, and you see him pulling in this black Prius, and his was a 2012, so it had that center console you were telling me about. I hadn't seen one until then, and I definitely see what you were talking about. Is from the driver's side perspective, that if that center piece of plastic is coming up to the bottom of that dashboard, there's just no place to throw your knee.
Right, you know, unfortunately. That's where they put the new shifter.
Yeah, I saw that. It's right on that center console. So I thought, wow, I really see what Barry was talking about. Certainly, now you're taller than me, so it wouldn't be an issue for me as much as it definitely would be for you.
Yeah.
But I said to Rich, I'm like, hey, you drove all the way down here from Weir's Beach. He's like, which is basically, for those who don't know, like Laconia, where they have, you know, the motorcycle rally.
And I said, check your Google Maps, people.
Yep. I said, what did you get for mileage? She said, summer gas, I'm getting 54.
Yeah.
And given things that are going on in my commute to work, I'm like, you know what? I really gotta reassess. Now, I love Goldfinger. Goldfinger will be in the family. But I need a diesel.
Oh, Barry, you got to send that to Michael. I think you play the Goldfinger thump.
I will.
Fuck it, I can't do it.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger! There you go.
No. You guys, don't try to emulate it. It doesn't work.
I know. It doesn't do it justice. So it was...
It doesn't do it at all.
So what I may end up doing is something along the lines of procuring a diesel pickup, although I want it to be a Dodge. They're pricey. Even used, they're more expensive than others. And looking for a Prii so I can have the best of both worlds.
That's kind of what I've decided I'm going to do.
Prius. And, you know, I thought about your what we were talking about with you, and I'm like, man, do not get rid of that car. I would drive that car till the frickin' wheels fall off of it.
Well, I forgot to add one other thing on my way down.
What's that?
On my way down, I crossed over 195,000.
Go, Barry.
It's June, so it's officially 10 years old now.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know what? You'll probably get 200. God knows. I know. I was just researching those as well. People are out there getting 325,000 miles for those cars.
Easy. And remember when they first came out, they said, oh, well, the only thing is the batteries are probably only rated. You probably have to swap them out after 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah, I got the original batteries in there after 10.
And they're still not really showing, I mean, they're not showing any signs of quitting on you anytime soon.
I got 50 to 56 miles per gallon on the way down.
Yeah. You know what? And plus, the price, they used to say, never buy a Prius because it'll cost you $10 million to change batteries. Now, I actually looked it up.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
You ready for this? I looked it up. $900.
Yeah. And you know what? They've improved the battery. So when it does come time to replace them, they're replacing them with more better improved batteries.
Yep. So, and they're lighter.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I would probably even consider, because it's a keeper, don't get rid of the darn thing. Yeah. Keep using it as long as it works.
Oh, yeah.
The only kicker that I would do with that vehicle is I would get the auxiliary add-on jack for your radio. Because now that you know you're going to keep it.
Yeah.
You say, okay, I'll pop for the $100. I'll get the thing that brings a 3.5 millimeter jack so you can plug in your iPhone into it, and then you don't have to use the FM transmitter.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I got to tell you something.
I use the FM transmitter all the way down here. The new one I've got, the Blu-ray to FM transmitter.
Oh, that's cool.
Never had a blink, not even around New York City.
Really?
It's yeah. I mean, it was perfect all the way down.
For years, I used a Belkin FM transmitter and never had a single issue.
Really?
I found
I found an
FM frequency that was empty, where there was no station, and I set the transmitter to that, and never had an issue.
No kidding. I run issues around the FAA, and I run into issues. That's about the only spot I run into is here around the FAA.
I'll have to give you my frequency because I used to have the same issues, and that's what made me find another frequency down there. And it's not the FAA that was causing me problems. It was some, I think it was, there's a college radio station down in that area, but it was as I, you know, I was approaching the FAA building.
Right.
And in that area, this FM station, college station would interfere. And I switched to another frequency. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I think it's 97.9.
That's awful high up. All right.
And not 87.9. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
87.9. And that's worked for me everywhere so far. So anyway,
I got a cheapy one. I got a cheapy FM transmitter, so it's a Walmart version. So
both of our vehicles have got the auxiliary connection that I can run a
3.5 millimeter. 3.5.
Yeah, whatever. From my iPod to the system, and it works fine. It's funny because the iPod I have is it's not the latest. It's the previous generation 160 gig iPod, and it is very fussy. If I use a thin cable, it will not give me full stereo into the vehicle's system.
But if I use a thicker one, it
will give me full stereo. Whereas my wife uses an iPod Touch, a more recent one, and it works just fine.
I found that with my iPhone 4S does that.
It requires a thicker cable?
Yep. I actually have two cables in the car, and I thought, why am I only getting mono sound out of this thing with my FM transmitter? And then I swapped out the cables to a thicker cable, both brand new, and I got stereo.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing I have.
Yeah.
So so I can't I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is. For you hockey fans out there that want to keep up what's going on, the game is now tied 3-3.
Interesting. The second period?
No, we're in the last period now. We're in the third. I didn't want to interrupt Barry talking because he was giving us some really good information, and I didn't want to just disturb his flow.
I disturb him all the time. I don't care.
Joel's very disturbing.
Yeah.
I am disturbed.
Joe's disturbance is something that I really appreciate about Joe. I have to say.
Oh, and by the way, go both teams. Yay.
Go both teams.
Boy, you sound like a middle of the road kind of Democrat, almost Republican kind of person. You know, I like the Republicans when they tell me that they're going to give me money, but I like the Democrats when they say they're not going to tax me. Yeah, okay.
The winner.
Yeah, there you go. Barry, run for president. You'll win.
Yes. I'm for winners.
I am for winners.
Yeah, vote for me and I'll win. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Where were we at? Oh, this was a bottom gear thing, right? Are we still in bottom gear?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me.
Anybody else got
a couple episodes ago? Barry talked about that your tractor had leaked some oil this spring. Did you find out what that was about?
Not yet. I haven't gone to check it. I don't see anything on the ground anymore, but I did my I want to say transaxle, and that's not right. It's the hydrostatic oil was a little low, and I tapped that on And how it seems to be that? Holding ground. There's a big, in the back of my tractor, there's a big white tank. All right. And it's got level marks on it, and it was low. So I tapped that. I should change it, but
you tapped it or topped it? You topped it off.
Yeah, I topped it. That's what I said, right?
No, you said I tapped it.
Yeah, you tapped it, and it came up. Oh, okay.
I topped it.
Jesus, he tapped it, and it healed. The fluid magically filled to the top.
Heal
my hydrostatic drive.
And that's why Joe is the host for Bottom Gear. Because he is the king of Bottom Gear.
You know why? It's because I drive the shittiest vehicles and the oldest ones of all of us.
Oh, but come on. When it comes to mechanical crap, you know all of it.
Joel is king of the bottom.
Exactly.
Gear.
Sorry, did I? King of the bottom. Gear. I like that.
Tape and rust. That's what I'm driving.
Tape and rust?
Duct tape and rust is what it's held together with.
The only reason why I was asking about your oil leak problem is that our John Deere tractor that we've used year round has no issue. But we last year, when it came time to take the snow plow thing off and put the mower deck on, I did not have the strength to deal with the J pins or U pins or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. I call the asshole pins.
Exactly. Yeah. I did not have the strength to pull those. So rather than put the mower deck back on the John Deere, we went out and bought a separate lawnmower.
Really?
And because I just could not pull those things and be able to hook it up. I just simply did not have the physical strength to pull them down enough.
Yeah,
so
they're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I gave up on it. And you said that you put the deck on in like 15 minutes this year.
Yeah, I got
which
wise.
Which kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I remembered what I did wrong last year. And yeah, the hardest part is pulling those damn J things out.
Yeah,
and
I don't have the strength to pull them. That's the part that defeats me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the other thing I learned too is you know how you've got to put it at the lowest setting, you know, the cutting height. You got to crank
that all the way
down.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I got that.
That was my mistake last year.
Oh no, that's not my problem this year or any year because I do that every time, but I just simply don't have the physical strength to pull the J pin down enough.
Yeah.
So last year when
Barty's a little girly man now.
yeah. I'm pushing 60. I have to admit, I'm a girly man now. But at least I don't have a white iPhone. But
what's wrong with the white iPhone? Huh?
But
nothing if you're a solidarity with girly man.
I do have a white iPad. I have a white iPad.
I have a white iPad. Right now I'm holding up for you in the camera right now. You know what? I like my white iPhone.
The only thing that gets me about the white is it doesn't really stay white. It kind of fades after a while. So when I got the phone, I went back to a black because black never fades. But anyway, getting back to the tractor, the JD is fine. But we went last year when I could not get the mower on it.
Mm-hmm.
The mower deck onto the JD. We thought about calling the JD dealer and saying, well, can you come out here and put this on it for us? And that probably would have been the better choice. I love the wind chime theory. But we decided to just say, screw it. Let's just go out and just buy a separate tractor just for mowing. So we went out there and we got a Troy built mower, which turns out to be not Troy built. It's really generic built. It's the same thing as everybody else. It just says Troy on it. But I mean, they used to build their own stuff, but they don't anymore. But we got that, and we used that all of last year, and we put it away in the shed for the winter, an outdoor shed. And this year, it's leaking oil. And I'm like, where the hell is this coming from? Because the leak is more towards the rear and not where the engine is. And I don't see any oil anywhere on the deck. So I don't understand where this is leaking from.
Is it hydrostatic?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's probably where your hydrostat tank is in the back.
I'll have to look and see where that is. I didn't know they had a separate tank for hydrostatic oil.
Yep. Oh, man, a lightning bug. Woo! I haven't seen one of those up in New Hampshire yet. I'm sorry. I was excited. I saw a lightning bug.
We saw those 2 nights ago. Oh, yeah. This, are we transitioning to a new topic yet, or are we just...
I don't know. Joel done?
Yeah, I'm all done. I don't have really much to offer.
You're the volunteer, dude, host.
Yeah, I know, but we have no show notes, and I don't have anything to add.
How about Michael? Michael's been awfully quiet. Is he awake?
Yeah, Michael, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm here. No, I don't have anything for Bottom Gear tonight.
You're just totally bored listening to us city folk talk about all these miscellaneous
issues. Michael's tired.
Yeah, well,
Michael had a big day.
Long day.
Long, big day.
So. I've heard his podcast, and I've heard the pre-show part of this. I mean, the last show. So I can imagine.
By the way, in case anybody knows, I mentioned this in the pre-show. At 7 o'clock tonight, last week's show went up. It should have, because what I did was I completed all these shows Thursday night, uploaded them via Fios, and then scheduled them to go out at 7 o'clock every night until they were all complete. So
I give it 20. When so many shows were coming out, I mean, I had like 3 shows that I listened to in a marathon at work. And it was just blowing me away. It was like listening to you guys just cracking me up. I was laughing my ass off at parts. And people were walking over and asking me, are you okay? You okay? Yeah, I'm just listening to something. What are you listening to? I says, well, you can download it if you want. And I told them about the podcast and all. And some of these guys were like, podcast? They didn't know what a podcast was. I told them, if you want to listen to any podcast at all, listen to Late Night QRM, and they will direct you to any other podcast you need to hear. They just looked at me kind of funny. You just, okay.
And I tried to explain that a lot myself with people who just have no idea what podcasts are.
Yeah.
And well, speaking of surprising.
Speaking of podcasts, I got to give a shout out to our friends over at New Hampshire. Oh, God, I'm going to get it wrong.
New Hampshire After Hours podcast.
After Hours. Yeah, I always want to say After that Dark. Show.
My God, I've been listening to that thing.
I finally remembered to subscribe to it. And frankly, I really enjoy the show. And when Joel said, let's listen to these guys on the way up to Copper Harbor last fall, I said, okay, let's listen to them. And I got to say, the first 5 hours I really enjoyed. And come about hour 19, I was getting the... I think I know these guys pretty well now. And I did have to take a bit of a break, you know. Joel kept on laughing, kept on... You know, elbowing me in the ribs, every few minutes.
He's trying to keep you awake.
I did subscribe. I am listening now. Seriously, I was going to subscribe to it, but I kept screwing up the name. And finally, last week,
I know. It took me a long time to find the freaking show because you guys kept calling it New Hampshire.
NHAfterHours.com.
After Hours.
NHAfterHours.com.
Yeah. After Dark. That's what it was. Yeah. Until I wouldn't send a message to Joel saying, what, or to all three of you saying, what the hell is this podcast? I can't find it. And Joel said, well, okay, it's After Hours. And then I found it. I tell you what, this is one of the most amazing shows I've ever heard. I talk about a most PC incorrect show. This is it. I love it. I totally love it.
Yeah, it's a great show. I'm really, I mean, I was listening to it and I was just like, it was over. And I said, it's over.
So listen to old episodes. That's what I do.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
I just got to say here, always breaking news in Philadelphia, either somebody is shooting off fireworks right now in the distance that I see, or the Limerick nuclear power plant has blown up. I'm not sure what I'm looking at here.
Could be either or.
I think if the power plant had blown up, it would not be like fireworks. It would be more like a daybreak within seconds.
The China syndrome.
Yeah.
Because it is only about 10 miles from here. So,
it's okay. I grew up less than 2 miles from Three Mile Island. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't live that far from Seabrook as it is, Joe.
And I remember when that happened because I was in college. And matter of fact, we were doing the morning radio show in college and the news broke and we immediately went into Meltdown 79.
Yo!
And started playing Don't Fear the Reaper and
other sort of good. That's a good freaking song, man.
It is a nice song.
Yeah, so it's fireworks. I don't know what's going on, but somebody's doing fireworks.
They're happy that you came out.
So not only do I have the Zen-like quality of the deck.
It's a Welcome Barry fireworks show.
There we go. I'll wave. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pennsylvania.
Welcome.
All right. And yeah, I got to tell you something. It is a little bit past dusk out here now. And I haven't been bitten by or touched by a mosquito yet. It's enjoyable sitting outside tonight.
Well, screw you.
You know what? Excellent. The mosquitoes, the Pennsylvania mosquitoes that are flying by go, what the hell is that smell? Oh, my God, I smell New Hampshire. I had a cousin who once told me about it. And you don't want any of that.
Shit. Yeah. It's been kind of cool here this evening. So my wife and I and the dog spent some time outside, and we didn't have to deal with any bugs either because it was like in the low 60s, upper 50s. So, I mean, there weren't any kind of flying critters along other than birds.
Yeah, Barry, the Pennsylvania mosquitoes are just worried about stepping on the New Hampshire turf. They're afraid they'll come back and take them out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, because they're the size of crows out of home. God, I mean, and they don't even just come out at night. They come out during the day, you know. You're sitting out there enjoying the sun, and all of a sudden the shadow comes over you, and you look up, and you're...
Yeah, you look up, and it's already too late. They're drilling into you.
Oh, that hurt my throat. Sorry.
He ingested a mosquito.
Nah, just... screwed up my throat and doing my mosquito impression. Anyway,
the freaking New England mosquitoes are tough, man. They're way tougher than them southern ones.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they have to deal with the spring, you know, with snow,
cold,
and frost and stuff. So,
that's right.
By the way, if anybody cares, Tampa Bay is leading 4-3 now.
Yeah, go Tampa Bay.
There's 8.5 minutes left.
All right.
There's a big interest in this Stanley Cup Finals here in Syracuse because Syracuse is the farm team for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's like 7 or 8 players from the Lightning are former Syracuse players, and the major contributors are about 4 or 5 of those 6 or 7 players.
And how many of them that play for Tampa Bay are Canadian?
Probably all of them. I mean, you know, I think we still have a primarily 80-20% Canadian to other ratio in the NHL. And why would you want it anywhere else? Come on. Now, listen.
I know.
Hockey is Canada's sport. It belongs to Canada. Canada does it best. You don't need foreigners playing hockey. You play. That's all fine. Enjoy it because it's the most wonderful game on the planet. I mean, there is no other game other than hockey that is as much fun. So, yeah.
We choose to play it in hot, sunny Florida.
Yeah, I know, where ice does not melt on its own. I mean, does not freeze on its own, you know? But still, hockey belongs to Canada. Okay.
Now,
Canada
without,
is the home of hockey.
Without being ridiculed by our friends up in Canada, which they probably are because we didn't even know who was playing in the Stanley Cup finals.
You guys are travesty. I tell
I got to ask you one other important question. What game is this?
This is the second game of the Stanley Cup finals.
Second? See, I thought it was the first game.
No, that was... Oh, God. Barry, you are an embarrassment. Jeez. God. Just because the Bruins are out of it does not mean that hockey is over for the season.
Bruins? Hell, Flyers, man. I'm in Philly country.
Fuck the Flyers. Fuck the Flyers.
Broke the bullies, man.
I don't care.
That's what they used to be. They're not the bullies anymore. Back in haven't been for years.
The Broad Street Bullies way back when, And I tell you what, the very first hockey game I ever saw live was in St. Louis against the Flyers. And when I was had a corner seat when I saw Bobby Clark's face screamed, it was crammed into the glass by one of the Blues players. That was the greatest point in my hockey life. I loved it. Yeah, screw you, Bobby Clark. I loved it. Of course, he was an old guy by that point. He was at the end of his career, you know. But, God,
that was, that's back when the walls, the rink walls were white.
Yes. Yes, for the most part.
There was no advertising on them.
Exactly. There was a little bit. There was a little bit. All right. But and, not
but
much.
The thing, the big kicker being, too, nobody had, you know, $4 million contracts on the line either. So they were willing to fight to keep their job. Nowadays, when you got a $3 million contract, all you have to do is just, even if you're riding the pine, is stay in the game. Yeah, they're a lot. Plus, the new rules changed a lot, too, as far as the bullying and the hitting and the slashing and.
I tell you, you have to miss the old days, but at the same token, you have to kind of like say, well, you know, you really couldn't just do that forever.
Right.
But it was sure fun to watch. Man, I tell you, watching the Bruins and the Flyers go against each other, man, people like Pieface McKenzie and Sanderson, the way they used to just tear into people. God, it was a thing to see. It was a thing of beauty.
You want to see hockey that's close to that, but still not quite the same, but closer? Farm team hockey. Those guys are trying to come up to the majors, up to the pros.
Yeah, but you don't get that in the U.S. You have to be in Canada to see those kind of games.
Yeah, probably. I don't think the Monarchs are like that up in Manchester.
Well, that's a college team. That's not so much a farm team.
No,
I mean a regional, rather.
In Canada.
But they're a farm team for the Kings, the LA Kings.
Right. Yeah. They're at the same level that the Syracuse team is. The Syracuse Crunch is the same level as the Manchester Monarchs. The Monarchs are, of course, sponsored by LA. And Syracuse used to be sponsored by the Ducks in Anaheim. And before that, I forget who they were sponsored by. But the Ducks didn't really pay much attention to them. But when Tampa Bay took over the team, they really went into serious farm team development. And it's paying off because look where they are. They're in the finals. Yep. And six or seven players from the Crunch team of the past 2 years are now playing in this very same final that I'm watching.
Michael's got circles. Are we still recording? Oh, there you go.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Hey, Michael.
Michael, is Michael there? Because that's important. Kinda...
No, he's there.
Michael? He's waiting. He doesn't want to talk hockey. Oh, he's probably eating something.
Why? Because he's recording.
He's there.
I'm
don't
here.
Worry.
I'm
he's
here.
There.
Okay.
Well, as long as his machine's awake, it doesn't matter if Michael's awake.
Well, I was worried we lost the connection to him.
No, we're good to go there.
Okay.
So I think it was part of our days of our lives, actually, wasn't it, Michael?
I lost track.
yeah. Well, hockey has been pretty much all my life has been about the past 2 or 3 weeks, as you've noticed by my absence. But I rearranged things, and I can watch the game now and talk to you guys because I put the iMac in my office, and I've got myself up on here on the MacBook Pro. So I'm happy as a clam.
Did I correct me or not, but did I hear something? You made a comment in one of our texting chats or something about, oh, I can get that on my watch?
Yes, if you change... where you send your text messages, if you send them to my iPhone number instead of my iPhone address, my Apple ID address, it'll come right to my watch.
What watch?
I do have my Apple Watch.
You have an Apple Watch?
iWatch?
I've had one. It's not called an iWatch. It's an Apple Watch, and I've had it for about 3 weeks now. And
well, Barty, you haven't been on for 3 weeks.
I know, because hockey playoffs have been happening.
Okay, so don't act like we know what you're talking about.
Tell us about it.
I know. I know. Well, I've been texting you about it and telling you about it, you know.
No, so, you just said your watch.
Yes, this watch is, I have to tell you, this thing is freaking cool. It's not a necessity, the same way that a smartwatch is not a necessity. Because you don't need a smartwatch. All you need is a mobile phone that you can call 911 on, to be realistic about it. So this is in the same category as a smartwatch. It's nice to have, and it is a fun freaking toy to play with. But you have to be a total geek to really enjoy it. I mean, if you like texting things and receiving texts back and getting text messages and... you want to talk about doing phone calls while you're driving? This is the device. You don't have to have a stupid thing stuck on your ear. You can have two hands on the wheel, drive down the road, and have a full conversation.
Be careful, though. Somebody in, where was it? Was it L.A. or someplace? I forget where it was. They got a $250 fine for using their Apple Watch while driving.
What were they doing with it? Because to receive a phone call, if the phone starts to ring, you tap a green button, put your hands on the wheel, and say, yes, hello. And you just have your conversation. And you are just simply talking at your windshield with two hands on the wheel, nothing in your ear, and everything is heard perfectly fine.
Well, I've done this with my wife and my son. He wasn't texting, but he just happened. I think the cops saw him tap a button on it and pulled him over.
Yeah, so, well, you do have to tap a button. When the phone rings, look at your watch, and you'll see a red and green button. You can click red to hang up or green to answer. You tap green, put your hands on the wheel, and say, hello. And it's simple as pie. And to be honest with you, that has been my biggest use. Of this watch is because I hate that stupid thing on the ear. My company gave me one when they gave me a smartphone way back when they first hired me, and I played around with it. The first thing I did with it was use it to play multiplayer games on my PS3 because my PS3 controller would talk to my earpiece through Bluetooth, and I thought, okay, fine. And now I don't even know what that damn thing is. Because I don't even need that anymore because of headsets and stuff. So, but I tell you what, the phone is freaking cool. And it does all kinds of weird things. And it does a lot of really stupid things. Like, I tell you what, if you are a person who ever needs to do a keynote or PowerPoint presentation from your iPhone, you can control it from your watch.
Oh, that's
now,
cool.
Who the hell ever does a presentation from an iPhone? Beats the hell out of me. But either one of those, PowerPoint or Keystone, you can control it from your watch. You can go back and forth and comment on it and all this kind of junk.
What?
And it's like, who the hell does that? Who uses an iPhone for a presentation? You can,
wait a minute. Now, Barty, if you take along the little Apple TV,
and you plug that into a projector, and then you have your
want to plug your iPhone into the projector.
Well, you could do that too.
I mean, why add an extra step? I mean, geez.
Why didn't they? Do they make a cord that goes to HDMI or whatever? Or I guess they do, probably.
I don't know. I don't know how you do this, but I did play with it, and I did dummy up a couple of slideshows, put them to my phone, and yes, indeed, I could use my watch and control that slide presentation from either PowerPoint or Keystone. I could control that from my watch. And I'm thinking, when will I ever friggin' use this? Probably never, you know? But, you know, you can, like, send heartbeats to people. You can draw. It has, like, a drawing program. You can draw little doodles and send those to people. How wonderful is that? I mean, nice. I'm making fun of this, but I'm not trying to be as critical as Leo was, because Leo, you know, let's face it, he's got a problem with Apple ever since they dissed him for disobeying their rules and streaming one of their shows.
Yeah.
But, he's got a big hard-on against Apple. But anyway, it's not as useless as Leo says. It is kind of handy. It's nice to be able to see the time. You can look at different time zones. And basically anything that your smartphone does, this can do.
Sure.
So it's got a lot of utility. Do you need it? No. Do you need a smartphone? Not really. All you really need is just a plain old mobile phone that can call 911.
You don't really
need a smartphone.
Yeah, I do. I don't use it as a phone.
You know.
Uh-oh, who's dying?
Yeah, really.
By the way, just an update. I've changed my position. I am now laying on the deck, staring up at the Big Dipper.
Still with no mosquitoes.
And no mosquitoes. With the Transcendental Chimes playing in the background. Ah, life is good.
Cool.
Okay. Sorry. I just need to update that. Michael, are you still alive?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Do you have any stories since we don't have any show notes?
I got an update and I got a question for Joel.
All right.
The update is I started to mention at the beginning of the show that I do have the car reserved for MMPR. And the late night QRM suite is reserved. I have the confirmation for it.
Awesome.
So, you know, important stuff there.
Good.
And I'm curious. I have not heard any updates on this cert, Joel.
Oh. Yeah,
I know we kept you up late and had you in your best form for the next morning, so I don't know how that turned out.
That's the show that went out tonight at 7 o'clock.
Okay, which I'm downloading now, actually. The cert, I want to call it the mock-up drill, as it happened, I was not brought in as the incident commander because, as it was then explained to me later, for this disaster simulation, the incident commander, yes, they do act as liaison, if you will, between EMS and the CERT team. However, they are not the boots on the ground coordinators as so much as is the search and rescue commander, which is what I ended up getting put in that position.
It keeps getting better and better.
Yes. So I had four teams of five for search and rescue that I had to coordinate. I get feedback reports on, coordinate whatever tools are going to be necessary for trapped victims across the whole hospital. And I ended up getting an award for it.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thanks. Voted, by...
Go, Joel.
I'm gonna get out of here. It's just, you know, you just grab the bull by the horns and you do as best you can with what you can do. I did have one particular small, what I call a hiccup, but I didn't realize until I was told afterwards they purposely did it, where I had one of my my search and rescue teams, SR Team 3, were deployed out without my notification. In other words, I deploy all search and rescue teams. I need to know where they're going, what they're going to do, where they're going to go, when they should report back in, what they should report to me as far as information, so you could coordinate. And one of the tests was that the trainers, one CERT trainer went with each CERT search and rescue team. Well, that CERT trainer prematurely deployed that team without me saying, okay, go. And it's literally that simple. We're going to do this. We're going to go here. We're going to work this coordinate in this grid. Search in this mannerisms. Look for any, you know, hazmat areas, yada, yada, yada. I need you to report back in 20 minutes back to me. This is what I need to find out. What do you got for blacks, yellows, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And they artificially deployed or prematurely deployed my team without my knowledge. And when I turned around, I'm like, where the hell's my team, Team 3? They're gone. And I'm like, I don't know. And so now I have to say, you know, and I went to the overall trainer. I said, I got to go to the incident commander and basically tell them I've got five people out in the field that I don't know if they know where they're supposed to go, what the pattern is supposed to be. Wonder whether or not they know where to check back in at, where to call, you know, the circle around when they're bringing out the greens, in other words, the walking wounded. And I'm pissed because I did not deploy them. You don't fucking move until I say you move. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. I have to be able to know where all 20 of those people are at all times.
Right.
And so I got a little bit pissed. And so when I was told, well, yeah, that one trainer gets very anxious with the teams and this. And I said, I don't give a flying rat's ass if they get anxious or not. I'm the commander for all the search and rescue. It goes by my rules, my way. Mm. And, you know, and that's, it's as simple as you don't self-deploy. I need to know that you know that we're on the same page. And if I can't, then that's five more possible victims that are out in the field. So when they came back along with the trainer, I went up one side of them and down the other. And literally saying, you know, yes, I know you're the trainer and I respect that and so on and so forth. However, comma, under no circumstances will you usurp my authority on my search and rescue teams. You're there to observe and answer questions. You do not deploy my teams under any circumstance for any reason. I don't give a shit how anxious you are. I now have to go back to incident command and tell them I have five people that are now possibly five more victims that we got to contend with because you decided to tell them it's time to go. They're new enough that they're not going to question you. I said, I'm just as new as them, and I will question anybody if I think they're wrong. And I said, this isn't going to fly. Well, it turns out that's what got me the award. Because I
good for you. Jeez.
So, and I mean, it just happened to be that way, you know. And I guess that's why it was the actual trainers who I thought I was going to go, for one position based upon our sign-in sheet. You know, they said, "What would you like to do?" And I thought, "Oh, I see, incident command." And I thought I would end up as the incident commander. And they're the ones who stuck me in that spot. And then they came up and approached me afterwards and they said, "Are you considering applying to be on the actual emergency response team?" And I said, yeah. So I filled out the paperwork. I had it notarized. I had a notary right there. I had it notarized. So they're doing the FBI background check right now. And you hear back in a couple of weeks. So and it's not going to be an issue. I've had plenty of background checks before, as Barry's fully aware of. Yep. So I'm anytime now I'll get my official membership, volunteership. And then from there, then I got more training that I'll be going on. But
neat.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have to say I loved it. I liked the IC end. I really like doing the search and rescue part. I like it. It's fast, and as far as the triage, you know, it's people are, you know, as it was all said and done, when I mentioned it in the last show, when the paramedics came up to me and said, Do you ever work as a medic or an EMT? Or not as a medic, but do you ever work in emergency services? I said, well, first responder. They said, the way you carry yourself, they're like, this one's toast, move on. I don't have time. You know, when you're be able to, it's the hard call. Yeah. And you sit there and you see somebody, it's like they're too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, if you waste a bunch of time, again, I'm kind of circling around from the old show. But yes, to answer your question, Michael, not only did it go well, I got an award for it. I did graduate with the course and was asked to join the emergency response team for the city of Nashua.
Oh, cool. And congrats.
Go Joe.
Thanks. Thanks, man. I loved it. I'm like, I wonder if I can figure out a way of making a living doing this. I'll quit doing electronics and do this for a living.
You won't get rich doing that, unfortunately. Yeah. I suppose if you get a government position, they might pay a little better. But
right,
I certainly don't do the paramedic work for the money. You know right. that.
Exactly. Yeah. You do it because it's a calling. It's something that you're good at to help people. You know, and if you're good at it, then even more so reason. But you got me thinking. You got me thinking, Michael, on that same note. I'm like, when they had asked, I thought, you know what? I've actually started to research about starting EMT.
Oh, that would be cool.
Training. You know, yeah. Maybe you can get on a crew with an EMT, you know, on a rig.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's nowhere near to the same extent or anywhere near to the same degree of training as a medic would have. But you're out there as a first responder, if you will.
That's where I started, Joel. You know, well, I started as a first responder, and then I went to EMT, and then I went to specialist, and then on to paramedic. So I didn't start out in the medic world.
Right. So and I was just sitting here thinking, like, as a part-time job on top of my full-time job, yes, I'd be doing a lot of stuff, and yes, I might. It would be ironic for me to say, hey, guys, I'm doing the shift from inside the rig, you know, doing a podcast as long as we don't get deployed or dispatched. But, yeah, I was actually thinking as a part-time to help out, and because there's a deficit, you know, at any given time, and at least in the city of Nashua and in other areas of New Hampshire, it's even more rural.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a city of 89,300 people, they only have four rigs running at any time.
Wow.
Over 39.6 square miles, 90,000 people. A lot of things happening with 90,000 people.
Yeah.
It's got to be a busy service.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, the fire departments, but when they're dispatched, they got to send out whole, you know, not just the rig, they got to send out fire trucks.
Yeah.
So, if they have somebody who's got chest pains, they're sending a ladder truck.
Yeah. Seen that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Out here, it takes an hour for them to respond.
So,
that's because they're an hour away, Marty.
I was just...
Yeah, well, you know, we have a volunteer fire department that, you know, if the house was on fire, they would get here in about 30 minutes or so because they're like 10 minutes down the road. But if you call with a medical emergency, they're not coming from Redfield. They're coming from the next nearest town, which is like 30, 40 miles away.
Yeah.
And they get lost. Because, well, the cop, the police, that the state police that came with them, that he admitted that he went the wrong way and got stuck in the snow and just by dumb luck got himself clear and got here just after the paramedics did. I tell you, the paramedics, they don't listen to 100% GPS because they know the area better. The police, yep. I mean, they're young guys. They'll listen to the GPS and go where the GPS tells them. I mean, because like the paramedic guy said, well, yeah, we know that that's a seasonal road, so we went the other way. Right. It was funny as hell. And of course, you know, the young cop, he didn't know any better. He was just a young kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because I've been thinking about it. This week has been really, really busy, as we all know, for all of us. I mean, my daughter had graduation. We had a whole lot of stuff going on. I've been working with field engineering at work. And I said to myself, well, if this is really something that I would find as a part-time, if you will, calling, something that I really would like to do it, then my fat ass needs to get back into shape. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, which means I had run keeper. So I thought, and my ankle feels better, finally, after twisting it, walking Watson. And I saw, believe it or not, and thanks very much, Doug, which just goes out to Doug Slater, it's a shout-out, because he sent me a friend request on run keeper.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I got one too.
Yep. So tomorrow I'm going out with my beautiful bride and Watson, and I'm going to start my very first Couch to 5K using Runkeeper and Couch to 5K, so I can start banging myself back into shape.
Nice. Yeah.
So, thanks, Doug. Thank you, Michael.
I wish you all the best. I wish I had that kind of umption to do the same thing. Because I could use it as well.
I honestly, it's just something I thought, you know what, I guess there is a certain, and I wasn't in, this was a mock-up scenario. I have been in emergencies as a first responder. And actually, we were doing a little storytelling afterwards, and one of the things that I found is that you do, there is a certain, call it what it is, it's an adrenaline high.
Yeah.
That kicks in. That, you know, the shit has hit the air conditioning. There's no room to screw this up, get it right, and help this person out. And that, when you do that, it feels really, really good. I've never, ever, you know, had it where it went sideways or went bad, and I'm sure that would come if I were to professionally pursue it, which then you just got to psychologically deal with that end of the spectrum, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's definitely something I thought, well, I really want to think about EMT training and as a part-time profession, and I gotta take some weight off, because I mean, I was moving around fast and I was moving around good there, and I thought, well, man, if I dropped 25 pounds, I'd move around a lot faster. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Cool.
Thanks, man.
I'll be thumbs up and hearting whatever it is on your
Runkeeper stuff. Yeah. Thanks. Well, that'll be the if, I'd like to get help as far as I say this affectionately. I'd like to help people professionally on a part-time basis in the medical field if I don't give myself a freaking heart attack first trying to get in shape to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, slow and steady. That's the thing. And you make that's what real...
I'm sorry, Barry, but yeah, that's what we call an EMS, an undesirable outcome, Joel.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just got to say, Joel, you're making me feel real guilty because I was supposed to go out and run today and I didn't get a chance because it was busy day. I did get a lot of exercise yesterday because we were doing a lot of yard work and stuff, but I'm a run behind the group now. By the way, that 5K is coming up in 2 weeks.
Yes, it is. Rockin' Rib Fest. I'll watch you run by. I'm not going to be in a position to run it.
I'm not doing the Rockin' Rib Fest. I'm doing company itself. Now I got to edit the damn thing. God damn.
All right. That was at 2 hours, 13 minutes.
Somebody 13 text me minutes. That. Writing it down.
I will text it right now.
So close. So close.
Yeah, so the podcast that shall not be named 5K. No, the company that shall not be named 5K.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's in 2 weeks.
A podcast that shall not be named 5K. All of you people who listen have to run 5K and keep listening.
There you go. Oh, jeez.
So yeah, it's that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I saw all the signs for Rockin' Rib Fest here locally in New Hampshire, which they have a big 5K race, and then they have a competition rib cook-off. Judge, big, all kinds of stuff. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm not going to run it, but I'll be the fat kid with the sauce running down the front of his shirt, waving at the runners going by, drinking a beer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joel. I heard the Kim Possible note in the background.
Oh yeah, that's yep. That's you,
Barry. Play some Wind Chimes.
Oh, they're going, aren't they? It's kind of calmed down now. I got the text, by the way. Whoever sent that
test? I was trying to do Kim Possible again. That's all.
Oh no! Go ahead. Hit the word test again. So I had to clear the screen back.
All right, here you go.
Ready? On.
Ah, here you go.
I put the send me a text.
Jeez.
So yeah, the I don't know if we're at what we would call the section of. the hell was it? What the hell's our TV what? Section? No. The TV section.
Entertainment last month.
Yes. Well, before we get to that, let me just say that the final score of the hockey game was 4-3 Tampa Bay. So the series is tied up. So the series is tied up one game apiece for Chicago and Tampa Bay.
And when's the next game?
Saturday night. Oh, wait a minute. This is Saturday. Saturday. I'm not sure. I was so keyed on waiting for Saturday for the next freaking game. I don't know. It should be sometime during the week. Tuesday or Wednesday, I would guess.
Sometime between now and then.
It should be in Chicago. And first two games are in Tampa Bay. Channel would be NBC. Whatever your NBC channel is, that's where it would be.
So Tuesday or Wednesday, if you watch other NBC shows, they're not going to be on for stupid hockey.
Well, they probably will be on because NBC will put them on their sports network.
Oh, really? They don't put it on?
Oh, come on. Are you
they
serious?
They don't put this on regular NBC?
They should. As far as I'm concerned, hockey should preempt every fucking thing. Hockey is life. Hockey is life. But unfortunately, here in the U.S., hockey is only important when your local team is winning. So if you're in Chicago, you're going to see all the Chicago games. Yeah. If you're in Tampa Bay, you're going to see all the Tampa Bay games. But anywhere else, you're going to see your regular NBC programming. NBC has a channel called NBCSN Sports Network.
Yeah.
They will have it on there.
Okay.
In the past, it used to be called the Speed Network, and it had another name for a while. And then NBC bought it, and you had to pay extra money to see it, which is why I was able to not miss shows last year, because you had to pay extra money to Dish to see NBCSN. But now, this year, it's free. So I can see all kinds of crazy hockey games, and I've been going nuts. I love hockey. Did I tell you I love hockey? I love hockey.
You may have mentioned it in the past.
Yeah, my mom's family's all from Quebec, and Quebec is all about hockey and, you know, speaking French and hockey, mostly hockey. Speaking French is okay, but it's about hockey. So... You know, my whole life is mostly about hockey since I don't speak French anymore. Being born in France, that's all I spoke, actually. I started first grade a year late because I didn't speak enough English. And my parents had to teach me more English because I was born in France with a Canadian mother and a Canadian-American father. He was an American citizen, but he was a French-Canadian. So he spoke mostly French. And, of course, all our neighbors spoke, guess what, French. So when I got to Texas and started first grade in Fort Hood, they were like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, and I had a music teacher that beat the crap out of me because I couldn't say the word wagon right, you know?
Really?
I mean, it's kind of weird. The childhood memories that you have, I don't remember much from first grade, but I remember this one big fat teacher being really mad because she was trying to teach me to say wagon, wagon, not wagon. And I couldn't hear the difference. And I was like, what the hell? You know, but she was like really mad at me about that. So I ended up having to start first grade a year later and skipping kindergarten because I didn't have enough English understanding to really get the understanding of what the teachers were saying.
Wow.
And now I can't speak any French at all, ironically. Hmm. You want to talk about some more irony? When I was in high school, because half my relatives were French, because they were all in Canada, I wanted to take a French class. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Because I was not in a college prep curriculum, they would not allow me.
Really?
Because they had to reserve those slots for college prep students. And I was like, I don't want it for college. I want it to talk to my relatives. You know, and
That didn't matter. My dad even threatened to take it to court, and they said, no, that's just the way the school system is set up in New Hampshire. So I could not take French in my own high school, talk to my own relatives, because I was not in a college curriculum. Because, you know, my grades kind of crappy. So, you know, funny. Jokes on them. I make a six-figure income, so screw you. But I still can't make much rent. I still want to talk to my friggin' relatives, though. Especially the ones that are Montreal Canadiens fans. But anyway, that's way off topic.
All right. Back to Mike. Mike, you got anything else?
That's right. Mike's running this boat tonight. Steer us to the buoy, Mike.
Yeah, no, Michael? I think I'm done for the night, guys.
You fading, Mike?
Yeah, I was fading an hour ago.
I kind of told, I could tell. So, well, why don't we wrap this one up then?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
start to call it.
Why don't you take us out there, Barry?
Okay. Well, tonight's musical guest is. We haven't heard this group in a long time.
Hey, Barry. Right. One thing first. I really want to express my appreciation for the extra effort that you put out. To get so many shows out in such a short period of time.
Well, I mean, felt guilty. Well, I really did.
I don't want you to feel guilty, but I just want to let you know that I really appreciate that you pumped out all these shows.
Yeah.
You know, personally, it's helped me catch up to where what's been going on in my absence while I was in this big hockey deluge. But, yeah. Really, I appreciate the time and the effort that it took for you to do that. And I want to thank you very much for all that work.
No problem. And I'm sorry I didn't get them out sooner. But, you know, what they say, life happens. And you know, we sit here and record them for a couple hours each Saturday night. But it takes me a couple plus hours to get each one out there. Because, yes, I know. A lot of, especially the short guys, and I appreciate that. They just like to, you know, record them and put them out. That's it, you know, everything. But I do go through these, and I do tweak the sound, and because, you know, we are using Skype, and some of us have limited connections, and so I try to boost the audio, and you know, and I got to come up with the themes. The stupid theme song every week. Do it, you know. and lately, since I've been changing the endings all the time, that's even okay. What am I going to do this week? You know. So, but well, yes,
I just wanted to thank you for your work because I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you, and I really do love doing it. And I'm going to make an effort to try to get them out on time. We'll see how it goes because you know I actually do enjoy the post. Show work, the post-production work. So it's just it frustrates me when I can't get it done on time.
Right.
So, but with that, we our musical guest tonight is insert name here. We haven't heard from them in a long time. So, and I'm sure they're going to be doing some fantastic cover song that's going to sound amazingly like the artist that they're doing the cover title for. So with that, we want to say to the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. You CONUS guys, be careful out there. It's dangerous. And, well, you know, the whole world hates the United States. And so you're our first line representatives out there. So just be careful. And we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, I'll go first as usual. from the zen-like
back porch
of my sister's house in the northwest suburbs of Philadelphia, we like to call Perky Omenville, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from Central New York's Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And coordinating the recording of Late Night QRM X 183. And unlike Mel, this does look okay to me. This is Michael, the virtual Youper.
A good one.
Classic. All right, everybody. That's show X183, 184 next week. Until then, here's insert name of band here.
Tonight's musical guest is A-ha with Take On Me.
Samson, speak. Good boy.